having and being. We can have in life whatever we are willing to be. Ultimately, being and having are the same. When we grant ourselves the emotional permission to live the life we want, there is little in the world that can stop us. As it says in the Course, we don't ask God for too much, we ask for too little. Our weakness is often simply a weakness of faith, believing more in the limitations of the world than in the limitlessness of God. To God, every moment is a new beginning, and God is held back by nothing. God would never say, "I could help you, but you messed up so badly, so I don't want to." Neither does he say, "I could give you a great life, but your parents were alcoholic, so my hands are tied." Limitations do not stand before the limitlessness of God, and it is the limits to our faith, not the limits of our circumstances, that keep us from experiencing miracles. Every situation provides us the chance to live with broader, more audacious hope and faith that all things are possible. God is bigger than any limited circumstance in our past. God is bigger than any limitation that the world is showing us now. Limitations exist only as a challenge to us to spiritually mature, as we realize that through the grace of God, we are bigger than they are. Bigger than financial lack? Yes, because in God you are infinitely abundant. Bigger than sickness? Yes, because in God you are in total good health. Bigger than terrorism? Yes, because in God we are infinite love. And that is the one and only force that hate and fear cannot withstand. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. If enough of us will pray each morning, asking the Spirit of God to enter into the global mess we've created and make all things right, surrendering our own ideas and asking for His instead, all things wrong will begin to dissolve. As it is, we're treating such problems primarily on the level of effect, and hardly treating the causal level at all. Our faith in the power of the problem and the power of human solutions far exceeds our faith in miracles. Why are we more afraid of being powerful than of being powerless? What is it about the notion of God's unlimited power working through us that seems so threatening? Is it not, in fact, that the notion is an affront to the ego's authority? Yet what, after all, has the ego given us? Is its material kingdom as powerful as it purports to be? Is its way really working, given the state of our planet today? Can enough consumer goods buy us happiness? Can enough sex buy us love? Can $400 billion a year of military expenditure buy us peace? "My kingdom," said Jesus, "is not of this world." The problems of the world will not be solved on the level of consciousness which is the problem. Jesus also said, "Greater works than I do will you do." He did not say we do them yet. He said we will do them. We will do them when we have evolved to the next stage of our spiritual maturity, a process that He, among others, will lead us to. Why, in a world that proclaims so much faith in God, are we so loath to let God show us how to move to the next level of our humanity? What is our resistance to the assumption of our own greatness as children of the light? We are His beloved children, in whom He is already well pleased. If He created us perfect and has glorious plans for us in heaven, then why are we so intent on playing small while we're still on earth? Is God withholding His greatness until we die? Or are we not resisting His greatness while we yet live? The ego will say anything to keep us from God, and "you'll see Him later" is one of its favorites. God is a blessing that permeates our entire being everywhere and all the time. But it is not enough that God blesses us. We have to receive the blessing gracefully in order to experience it fully. How we receive something is as important as what we are receiving. If we accept a gift with genuine gratitude and humility, giving praise and honor to the giver, then our bounty will increase. When we simply take a gift for granted, however, not giving thanks, then our good will shrink. How many times have we casually minimized an opportunity, not recognizing some awesome gift of life and love until it was too late? We learned the hard way how much power we have to make things less by simply thinking they are. Who among us has never thrown away a blessing, too cocky or spoiled, perhaps, to see it for what it was? Countless days and nights have gone by in which I have failed to even notice the sun or moon. It is so easy to take for granted the glory that is all around us. When I was a child growing up in Texas, I used to witness the extraordinary sunsets that Texas skies are famous for. I didn't know that not every sunset was painted like this, in manifold hues of pink and purple, orange and gold. I didn't know that not every sunset displayed voluminous clouds and glorious rays of fading sun, dramatically painted across an endless sky. I didn't know how blessed I was to see this. Sometimes now I miss those sunsets and realize how naive I was to think that they were so easy to come by. I consider what miracles I'm underestimating now, happening all around me, yet unacknowledged and unpraised. It seems to me the biggest crisis that faces us, certainly that faces me, is a crisis of faith. I forget that the God who paints those sunsets and keeps the sun in the sky and turns the embryo into a baby is active in my life as well. It is because of my own mental fatigue, the failure of my own imagination, that I fail sometimes to connect the dots between the problems that beset my life and God's infinite power to solve them. One problem, one answer. All of us have problems at times, even serious ones. But while we think we have many different problems, we really only have one: our separation from God. Once we're realigned with the truth of our being, non-truth can't remain in our presence for long. A problem isn't necessarily something bad. If it's happening, it's part of a divine curriculum designed as a learning opportunity for everyone involved. And one of the things we learn when we've experienced problems and then received the miracle that solves them is faith that miracles do happen. Miracles arise from conviction, and nothing gives us conviction like having been saved from the bottom of our own deep hole. Every challenge is an opportunity for a miracle. God can and will disentangle the myriad lines of dysfunctional energy that pervade a situation, as long as we place it in His hands. In your mind's eye, pour light on the circumstance. Loosen your attitudinal grip. See it as a lesson, a potential display of God's miraculous power to heal all things, and surrender it with thanks to God. Feel your personal self no longer holding the problem nor having to solve it. Expand into the infinity of your being, and from there approach both the problem and its solution. In this way, you gain an added dimension of power to your ability to handle anything. We are heir to the rules of the world with which we identify. Once we identify with Spirit alone, there are no rules except those of mercy and love. The power of thought. It's easy to minimize the power of our thoughts, yet all thought creates form on some level. You don't get karmic amnesty for, "Oh yeah, I thought that, but I didn't really mean it." The subconscious mind hears everything and simply reflects it back to us. There's no subconscious filter to leave out what you really didn't mean. Joke about how no one likes you, and pretty soon they probably won't. Affirm that you're in your power, and pretty soon you will be. The subconscious mind doesn't know how serious you are when you think something. It simply sets you up to fulfill your own expectations. Some people ridicule the notion that writing out 50 times, "I am smart and perform brilliantly at work," each night before you go to bed for 30 nights can be viewed as a serious agent of healing. Yet those same voices are often the first to argue that because you heard your mother say, "You're dumb and you'll never amount to anything," every night before you went to bed as a child, you're wounded for life. So which is it? If words are dangerous, then words can also heal at whatever age. Just as an audio tape can be erased by taping another one over it, we can begin to reprogram our minds with thoughts that counter the ones we habitually think. For better or worse, the subconscious mind hears everything. Remember, every thought we think takes us and others around us either straight to heaven, which is an awareness of our oneness, or straight to hell, or the ego state of separation. If we think good about the world, then we're likely to see it. And if we think bad, we're likely to see that too. We allow ourselves to wander far too easily into negative thoughts and negative words, and from both come negative experience. Since all minds are joined, conflict between any two of us contributes to war, and reconciliation between any two of us takes us closer to world peace. Our smallest judgment adds to war, and our smallest forgiveness adds to peace. Miracles affect situations we will never even know about. The butterfly's wings in South America affect the wind patterns at the North Pole, and thoughts of true peace in Idaho affect plans for peace in Palestine. What an extraordinary opportunity as well as responsibility we have to try to get this right.